lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been studying the life of Christ. The last time we looked at the choosing of the 12. Well, I want to continue with that today along those lines as we look into the life of Christ. And once again, these men would be forever memorialized on the 12 foundations for the wall of the New Jerusalem. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 14, it says, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." Well, Jesus made an important decision when he chose the 12. Remember, we talked about prayer. He prayed. He asked. He looked to the Father to give him instruction. And by the will of God, he chose the 12 apostles. Well, you and I must make important decisions. Everyday choices must be made. And the Bible says that we're to pray without ceasing. That's for those people who are saved. And do we desire to ascertain God's will? Do we get alone to commune and communicate with God? Do we bathe our decisions in prayer? Before we make our choice, do we look for God's choice? Now, this is something that you need to ask yourself when you're getting ready to make an important decision in your life. Or maybe it's not such an important decision. Once again, the Bible says that we're to pray for everything, not only those things that come into our lives daily that seems so important, but those things that they really don't seem that important, we're to pray for everything. And this is the example that Jesus left us. Right now, let's look to our Heavenly Father. Now, Father, I pray that you would guide and direct. Help us, Lord, to learn from your word today as we study it. Now, I pray for those listening, Lord, for that one person who's never trusted you. May that person receive you as Jesus. May that person receive you as Savior, as God. May that person recognize you, and may that person say, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Please come in and save me." And for that saved person today, I pray for that person that you would guide and direct and help that person to grow in your grace and knowledge. For it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Well, Jesus made a choice, and our Lord chose 12 men. He said this, he said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." John chapter 15, verse 16 says that. But, well, who were these men, these chosen ones that Jesus chose? Were they men of great fame? Were they men of great power and position? Well, certainly they were. You know, we think, well, he would not have just chosen someone off the street, or he would have chosen someone who was well-versed in all this. Well, were they the brilliant intellectual giants of their day? Were they among the wise and the powerful and the rich? Who were they? We find out by reading Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 who they were. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Well, the book of Acts says they were unlearned and ignorant men. Jesus and God can use anyone who's willing to serve him. And the book of Acts also says in verse 13 of chapter 4, it also states that the people took notice of these men because they had been with Jesus. And let me say that when you're with Jesus, there's something about it that you will stand out, not for your own glory and not for your glorification, but you will stand out as one who is standing for Jesus. You need to stand for Jesus, and God will set you up on a, I don't want to say he's going to put you on a pedestal, but people will take notice. And they may say that you're unlearned and ignorant, but so be it. So were the apostles. And they will have to say in the end, they say, well, that person has been with Jesus. And you need to stay in the Word. And you need to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, in the world's eyes, these 12 were nobodies. These apostles were nobodies. They were unlearned and ignorant. They were just a group of ordinary, uneducated, unknown Galileans. And by the way, most of the disciples were from Galilee. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 59, it says, "In about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.'" This is Peter, of course, standing off, and he was going to deny our Lord at this time, just before the crucifixion. But his speech gave him away. He spoke as a Galilean. Why? Because he was a Galilean. And then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, 'Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?'" Well, people spoke differently. And might I say that these people, the Galileans, were actually, we could say, use this term, they were looked down on by the people. As, once again, those people who, they were not as good as the other people. Well, one of these men, one of the 12, and we discussed this earlier, one of these men was a devil. And in John chapter 6, verse 70 and 71, it says, Jesus says this, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." He knew from the beginning that one of them was a devil. And he goes on in verse 71 of John 6. He says, "He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was that should betray him, being one of the 12." Well, the Lord Jesus once spoke to his 12 disciples and told them that they were clean, but not all of them were clean. And of course, he's speaking of Judas was not clean. In John chapter 13, verses 10 and 11, Jesus saith unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, 'Ye are not all clean.'" Well, Jesus did not make a mistake when he chose Judas. Because in John chapter 6 and verse 64, it says, "But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He was not taken by surprise. He knew Judas. He knew what was going to take place. And you see, the Lord wants to teach us at least three important lessons from this traitor's tragic life. First, I see that it is possible to go through all the outward motions and yet not be saved. In other words, on our way to heaven. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, it says, "Not every one that saith unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" And of course, you read in the Old Testament as well, in Psalm 101, verse 4, it says there, "A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person." There's only one way that you will not be wicked in the sight of God, and that is by choosing Jesus as your Savior. In Psalm chapter 6 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping." Well, the first thing I see that God and Jesus wants us to know here is it is possible to go through all the outward motions and yet not be saved. And then it is possible to fool everyone but God. Now, there is no hint in the gospel records that the other 11 disciples ever suspected Judas. Judas and the Lord knew he was a fraud. In Matthew 26:25, it says, "Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, 'Master, is it I?' He said unto him, 'Thou hast said.' In John chapter 13 and verse 11, it says, "For he knew who would betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean." Judas knew he was a fraud, and Judas had all the outward signs. In other words, he walked with the other 11 apostles. He walked with Jesus. He was close to Jesus. And this is the third thing I want you to notice. It is possible to be very close to the Lord, yet end up forever lost. Well, very few people have ever been as close to the Lord while he was on the earth as Judas was. And very few people have been so privileged as he was. Judas was given maximum light. And as far as the things of God are concerned, he was face to face with the Lord. Jesus was God in the flesh, and he was there with him. He sat under the best teacher the world has ever known and has ever heard. He heard the best preacher. He heard the message of salvation from the lips of the Savior himself, and he heard this message again and again. He personally witnessed many of the miracles of Christ, which clearly proved that Jesus was everything he claimed to be. He had every possible advantage and benefit which came from being in the very presence of the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 24, it says, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Well, the warning from God. How will people escape the wrath of God if they neglect salvation? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Well, the answer for escaping the wrath of God, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." And then Psalm chapter 95, verses 6 through 8 says, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, "Come now, and let us reason together." You see, God is sending out an invitation here. If you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, here's your invitation. "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And then again in Acts chapter 4, and verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." And there are so many verses that lead us and show us Jesus Christ the Savior. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31, "And they brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do? And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Now, there are decisions to make. We need to pray. You need to pray. Seek God's guidance. Act upon God's guidance. Serve. Make your calling and election sure. Have you trusted him? You need to make sure today that you're on your way to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nothing else, no one else. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. And Christian, if you're not living for him today, you too need to make a decision to follow him and to give your life to him so he can use you for his honor and his glory forever. Amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.